John chapter 5, start reading in verse 18. I'm going to skip around here just a little ways. I just want to get to verse 34 and pull something out of verse 34 and talk to us for a little while. But verse 17 says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Some shall come forth, they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Let's skip down to verse number 32. "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony of man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape." Amen. That's enough reading tonight. We're going to take verse 34. Jesus here says, "But these things I say, that ye might be saved." I want to preach tonight on "that ye might be saved." Would you pray for me? Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you help us, Lord. Pray that you move in our hearts and lives. We would receive a touch from you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be in your presence and to preach your word, God, before these people. I pray a special blessing and a special anointing might come upon us in your holy name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We could have read, actually, starting in verse 17. We could have started in verse 5. Jesus has healed a man, or verse 1 of this whole chapter. Jesus has healed a man of blindness on the Sabbath day. No, that's a big no-no for these Jews. I'm talking about he has broken the Sabbath law. He has messed them up. And matter of fact, they begin to talk to him, and they actually wanted to kill him in this chapter. And they did end up killing the Lord. We know all this. But they persecuted Jesus in verse 16. And because he healed this man on the Sabbath, and the list was racking up. He had done other things on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 16 that he had done these things on the Sabbath. So Jesus said, "Why y'all gonna kill me?" And said, "You can't kill me." Said, "You're breaking the law by killing me. I've done no wrong, worthy of death." Jesus knew the law. Matter of fact, he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And they said that the Bible says that they wanted to kill him even the more because he said that God was his father. And so that's where we picked up, began to read. Jesus is trying to convince them. He's not trying to prove them wrong. He's trying to win them over. And I know that times his words may have seemed so bitter in their mouth. Seemed like so hard to swallow, these religious people. But Jesus, and I want to take this phrase right here and preach. It was all for one thing, that they might be saved. And that's what I want to preach tonight. He said, "I say these things that ye might be saved." He brings up John the Baptist. Because all the people counted John for a great prophet and thought great high things of John. He said, "John bear witness of me." He said, "There was one." He said, I can't bear witness of myself." He said, matter of fact, in one place Jesus said, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Isn't that something? He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And he said, "Even though I can bear witness of myself, because I have that power and authority from God." He said, "The Father hath given me authority to execute judgment." He said, "The Father has given life to me." And he said, "Those that are in the grave are going to hear my voice and come out." And he's fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead. He's foretelling of resurrection. He's foretelling of the end resurrection. He said, "Don't marvel not at this." He said, "Those that are in the graves are going to hear his voice." He said, "A matter of fact, the day will come when they'll hear the voice, they'll hear my voice." And he said, "They'll come out. Some will go to the resurrection of life, and others will go to the resurrection of damnation." And he comes down to this point right here. And it's all hinging. It's all like the seesaw on this one thing. It's all back and forth on this one thing. That ye might be saved. I'm telling you tonight, I'm amazed in coming to this service. And I want you to know that I love to preach. And I thank the Lord has given me that desire. And I love to preach. And for sure, if the Lord will help me. And people, you know, will respond to it. But really, in this service tonight, the Lord has said so much through others' testimonies and everything that I wouldn't have to preach tonight. And so I'm going to give you a little rerun, but I've never preached this message before, but I'm going to give you a rerun of some things that have already been said in this service tonight. Okay? I want to talk to us about good things in our life, how that the Lord gives good things to us. And the reason he gives good things to us is that we might be saved. It is God's will to bless people. And the reason that he blesses is that we might be saved. Now, there is something greater than being blessed, and that is being saved. And if you have to live a dog's life to make it to heaven, it will be worth it. But the reason God blesses is that we might be saved. And that's what I want to preach tonight on, is that we might be saved. I want to talk about two things. And if y'all was listening tonight, I want to talk about two things that the Lord dealt with me this afternoon to preach about. First off, about things in our life that we might be saved as proof that we will give ourselves over to the Lord. Good things, opportunities, blessings, even circumstances. Some of those may be trouble, but God does it so we'll be saved. And then I want to talk about His Word. Amen. He spoke these things. He said, these things I say. I'm saying these things so you will be saved. Amen. God's Word has a purpose. What is the purpose? God's Word performs many things. God's Word will judge this world one day. I was in my office the other day. I was trying to get ready to preach for service. I was so busy. I was tired. I was frustrated. And I got a call. I didn't know who it was. I thought I might answer it. It was a telemarketer, I guess, or somebody selling something. They was for a book distributing. They was like for book publication distributors and all these books and different things. And I said, do y'all sell Bibles? No, sir, we don't have Bibles. I said, sir, do you not know that the Bible is the number one seller in America? As a matter of fact, and the phone went click. I was fixing to tell him. I'm serious, he hung up on me. A telemarketer hung up on me. Now, I don't know what they were selling. But, you know, he answered my question. I said, do you have any Bibles? He said, no. I said, y'all don't sell Bibles? No, sir. And he started in. I said, sir, did you know? And that's when I told him that. And it went click. I was going to tell him that every week, 7 days in America, according to statistics, 168,000 Bibles is either given away or bought in America. Why? That we might be saved. That's the reason for God's Word, is that we might be saved. That's the reason for preaching. That's the reason for Sunday school. So, well, I'm already saved. Oh, but there's so many tricks and traps of the devil. Hallelujah. That's why Sunday school is important. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It ain't bothering me at all. I'm serious, it don't bother me at all. That's why Sunday school is important. Amen. That's why teaching is important. That's why godly principles is important. That's why we got to have it right. Because we can't err in the Word of God. And that's why that the enemy is so against us, and there's so much false teaching and so much, amen, so much falsehood in God's Word. But you know what? I don't believe a person will err if we'll always stay with the simple. We cannot get away from the simplicity of the gospel. What is that? Just like the wisest man in the Bible said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Amen. His Word is that we might be saved. Praise God. The Word of God is here so the world can be saved. The Word of God has power. That's why we need to stand behind people like the Gideons. That's why we need to buy Bibles for missionaries. Because the Word of God has power in it. Amen. That's why that it's important for us to have Bibles to give away here at the church. That's why when somebody gets saved, amen, and you notice it, buy them a Bible. That's wonderful. I've seen several people do it. I've bought Bibles for people. Amen. That's why we must read the Bible. That's why we must come to church and hear the Word of God preached. That's why we must go to Sunday school, study the Bible. Amen. So that ye might be saved, these things. There's no person that'll go to hell that'll have an excuse. Not a young person, not an old person, nobody. God has been good to us. Matter of fact, the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I know sometimes people get blessed and they think that that's God's approval on their life. But actually, it's the opposite. It's God trying to woo, amen, a person to Him. The Bible said that, you know the story, Lazarus was the beggar, and the rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And the rich man, the beggar died and was carried by the angels. The rich man died also. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, Luke chapter 16, being in torment, said, Father Abraham, I pray that you send Lazarus that he may dip, you know the story, dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Father Abraham said, there's a great gulf fixed and we can't pass to you and you can't come to us. He said, but son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. You don't have no excuse for being in hell because God was good to you. Hallelujah. Can anybody raise your hand right here and say, God has been good to me? He's been good to me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has been good to me. And I dare say that God's been good to every one of us. Why? That ye might be saved. Why has God been good to me? There's a roof up above me. I've got shoes on my feet, food on my table. Amen. Clothes on my back, something like that, you know. I might get it mixed up. But why does God, amen, provide for man? Why does God, amen, place it in the heart, amen, of those who help others and all that, that we might be saved? The whole purpose of it all is that we can be saved. It's not a cat and mouse game. God is good to us so that we will be saved and serve Him and go to heaven one day. God's blessings on us is so that we will draw closer to Him. They walked in that garden, that perfect garden. Perfect garden. Nothing is perfect here. They had no shame, no embarrassment. They lived in a perfect world. And God walked with man in the cool of the day. You listen to me. God's will is to bless us and to prosper us. But there is something greater, and that is that we might be saved. It's the reason for it. When God created man, He didn't take him, put him out proud and working and sweating. No, man made that own decision for himself. He didn't put him in a jail cell and lock him up. He didn't put him on a hillside and put tombstones out there. He didn't put him in the hospital. No, when God created man, He created him in a perfect environment because God loves to bless and to cheer mankind. He wants man to be happy. Why? That we might be saved. Think about where David committed adultery with Bathsheba, which was another man's wife. Not only did he commit adultery, but he murdered the man with the sword of the Amorites. Y'all know the story. Nathan the prophet, I talked about Nathan this morning. Nathan the prophet, God said, go down and talk to David. What he's done is wrong. Nathan the prophet come in there and told him a parable or a story. David has just committed adultery. You know, all this, the woman's with child, and so he tries to cover it up by putting this man, who's her husband, on the, and there's a lot goes on there. I mean, he brings the man home and gets him drunk and tries to send him home drunk and cover it up that way. But the man was so loyal, he wouldn't go home. He stayed right there. David said, why didn't you go home? He said, how can I go home when we're in war? He was such a loyal man, he wouldn't even go home. So David found, I got to do something else. So he sends a letter by that man to the general and says, put him on the front row. And said, when they get real hot, said, pull back and let them kill him. And so, you know, after this woman weeps and all, David brings her into his house and she becomes his wife. It all looked like it was all hid and covered. Ain't that something how we think everything just gets hid and covered? Nobody knows. Nathan come down there and said, he said, hey, King, I want to tell you a story. Oh, yeah, what is it? So they was, and David was a shepherd. David, he wrote Psalms 23. He knew about, he said, there was a rich man in the city and a poor man in the same city. He said, the rich man, listen to this. He's telling the story about David because he ends up saying, thou art the man. He said, this rich man had exceeding flocks and herds. He had a bunch. Everything. Why? That we might be saved. Why does God bless us? Why does God help us? That we might be saved. Not to turn our heart from God. God help us to be individuals, amen, like has already been preached to us tonight, amen, that when God does bless us and when God does help us, amen, instead of it pushing us away from God or turning our heart away from God, instead let it draw us closer to God. Let us be more faithful to God. Let us do greater things for God. And he said that, you know, the other man had one sheep. And I'm pulling a point out of here, but I'll go ahead and tell the story. He said the other man had one sheep. Said the rich man had a traveler come by his house. And he said he could have took any out of his. He could have satisfied himself in any way. But instead he goes and kills that one little lamb, that poor man. David was angry. He said, the man will die for this. Ain't that something, how he wanted to kill the man and he was the one? Really and truthfully, if God put our story in a parable many times and we didn't know it was us, we would think it was horrible. Nathan said, you're the man. Said, thus saith the Lord. Said, I anointed you. And I want to read you a phrase in there. This stuck out to me so great in 2 Samuel chapter 12. He said, thus saith the Lord God, thou art the man. Amen. I appointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And listen to this phrase. You might have read it before, but Nathan is standing before David, who has just sinned. Amen. He has committed adultery and he's murdered a man. He's lied. He's done all these things and he's the king. And God comes down there and he says, I did all these things for you. And God says, if that had been too little. Did y'all hear that tonight? Are y'all still with me? Think of that phrase. God says, if that had been too little, I would have given thee, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. God says, David, if I hadn't have been good to you, good enough to you, I would have gave more. Now I want to ask you tonight, amen, has God been good to us enough, amen, that we can be faithful to God, amen, and do what God wants us to do? God says, if that had been too little, Sam, if that had been too little, sir, ma'am, if that had been too little, brother or sister, I would have given you more. I've given you enough, David, that you could have been faithful to me and you didn't have to fall, amen, when the traveler came your way. You didn't have to stumble. If that wouldn't have been enough for you to live right, I would have given you more. You despise the commandment of the Lord and done evil in His sight. Amen. God is good to us. I read it, or I quoted it a while ago in Romans 2 and 4. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If man could wake up and see the goodness of God, amen, He lets the sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. God does not, amen, so many times punish us immediately, but instead He lets us go and go and go, hoping that we'll turn around, hoping that we'll repent. Amen. Why? Why does God do that to the world? How come God hadn't judged America already that we might be saved? Why hasn't God judged America already so a sinner could pray in the altar? Amen. And one more message could be preached. And one more tract could be given. And one more song could be sang. And God in His great mercy said, if I can just hold off a little bit more, maybe one more person will get saved. Y'all get this tonight? Why does God allow us to wake up this morning, enjoy the sunshine and the birds singing? Why didn't God wipe this country off the map today? Why didn't He just destroy it? Why, amen, does God let people live and breathe when they're laughing in His face and daring Him to do something about it? He's saying, maybe they'll be saved. I'll feed them one more time. I'll bless them one more time. I'll give them a job. I'll give them something to do. I'll provide their needs. I'll do what I can for them. Maybe, possibly, they'll get saved. He said, these things is so that you'll be saved, that ye might be saved. He said, this witness that I'm giving to you, these works that I'm doing, is so that you will be saved. Praise God. God's such a good God. Hallelujah. I think brother testified tonight over here and said, God is a good God. Can I get a witness tonight? Amen. He is a good God. Why? So that we will be saved. Hallelujah. He don't have to show off. He don't have to prove one thing. Amen. He is God no matter what anybody believes. So that we can be saved, he's good to us. The whole purpose of all God's blessings is so that we will be saved. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 2, I'm going to move on. Said, thou shalt remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. 40 years never had to buy new clothes. Praise God. 40 years never had to buy new shoes. Didn't have to resole them or anything. What a blessing. They're walking through there and they get hungry. God sends down the dew. Amen. And when the dew goes up, amen, there's all these little seeds out there. They didn't know what to call it. They just called it manna. It was angels' food. It was bread cooked in God's good heaven. They blended it up and they said it tasted just like fresh oil. Hallelujah. They got hungry. Amen. They wanted meat, and God gave them quail to eat. Even Moses said, God said, I'm going to give them meat to eat. Even Moses said, what are you going to do? Kill all the cows? Amen. What are you going to do? Get all the fish? Moses, looking at all them people, said, man, these are some big eaters. How in the world are you going to feed all them? God said, is my hand shortened? Amen. Is anything too hard for me, Moses? He said, get out of the way, and I'll feed them meat till they don't ever want another piece of meat. Hallelujah. And they fed them. He fed them meat so much that they didn't even want meat no more. They come down there and the waters was bitter. Amen. God showed Moses a tree and threw the tree in the water and turned the water sweet. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the goodness of God leading them through a wilderness. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his blessings. Amen. I don't want no rock crying out in my place, somebody said. Hallelujah. God's been good to me. Why? So I could be saved. God's been so good to us in this church. It'd be a shame if we turned our back on God. Hallelujah. Come down there and didn't have no water. He said, go down and smite that rock. Where in the world, he said in Deuteronomy, have you heard that water came out of a flint rock? Hallelujah. Gave them water to drink. Not only did they drink, but their cattle drank. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God for his mercy. Brought them all the way down to a land of wheat, a land of barley, a land of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and olive, a land of honey. Matter of fact, he said it's a land that floweth with milk and honey. What a blessed land that God prepared for his people. Amen. It's just like living in Canaan now. Salvation. Hallelujah. Seemed like somebody else testified tonight. I told y'all was going to get a rerun. You wasn't listening a while ago. Amen. But he testified and said, amen, how could you make it without the Lord? Amen. The peace that he gives. Amen. The blessings that he gives. What is it that we might be saved? All these blessings that God brings in our life so we could be saved. Not so we can turn it back. Amen. Turn our back on God. God doesn't bless us and multiply and give us a good job and raise us up in the community and all these things for none other reason that we might be saved. I mean, it's a great evil. We as human beings will come to God at our lowest. And God in His grace will take us all the way up. And we'll turn our back on Him. And the whole reason He blessed us is because He delighted in us. And that we might be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Glory to God. That He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Hallelujah. God's the one that gives us the power. God's the one that gives us the grace. Amen. God does all these things. Jesus said, all of these works that I've done is so that ye might be saved. He could have been born. Amen. And grew up and went straight to Calvary and died on that cross. But He walked for 3 years. Amen. And lived a life and healed the sick. Amen. And raised the dead and opened the blinded eyes. Amen. And fed the multitudes, fed the thousands. Took little bitty fishes and multiplied them and fed the thousands. And people ate until they couldn't eat no more. Amen. Matter of fact, it was better than Long John Silver's. Amen. It was better than Chicken Express. Amen. They got in a boat and went over there. He said, you know why you came over here? Is because you love those loaves and fishes. Amen. He created a fire. Amen. Said, come and dine, disciples, come and dine. And somebody wrote a song, said, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And He invites His chosen people, come and dine. But what is the purpose of it all? Amen. Why does God bless His people? Why did He raise the dead? Why did He heal the sick? Why did He do these things? Why does He bless man? Why does He multiply? Why did He let Peter catch a fish? Amen. With a piece of gold in it. Amen. Why did God do it? So that we could be saved. The purpose of it all is to go to heaven. God bless you. God touches your life. God turns it around. It's so that you'll go to heaven. Not so just so you can drive a fancy car. You know, I like to drive a fancy car. Not just so you can be, you know, this, that, or the other. I thank God that's all right. But that's not the purpose of it all. The purpose of it all is so that we'll be saved. Have a house. I thank God for the house that He's blessed me with. He could take it at any moment. I thank God for the clothes. I thank God for the food. If y'all can't tell, I love to eat. Me and Blake, we love to eat. Why does God bless us all these things? Children, why does God give us things? Amen. We look there at that Christmas tree and gifts all around that tree. I mean, there's some folks in here tonight. You remember when you was young, there wasn't no gifts under that tree. There wasn't no gifts there. Amen. Poor, you know. I was raised in a big family. And there was times we didn't have nothing. We didn't have much. And I'm not saying that we've never struggled, but you know what I'm talking about, Brother Richard. Amen. You know some of those cars you work on to get to work and then work on to get home. Amen. Or whatever. You know, and God blesses us and God does good things for us. Why? So that we will be saved. No other reason. Amen. But then for us to be saved and God delights in us. Amen. And God wants to bless us. I'm telling you, church, tonight, amen, it's a shame and it's a pity and it's a great evil, but it happens over and over and over again where God blesses us and God raises us up and we forget the Lord. Jody, don't ever forget. Amen. God's goodness to you. The whole purpose of God's goodness to you, Sister Honey, is so we'll be saved. The whole purpose. The whole purpose is so you'll go to heaven. He said in Deuteronomy, He said, don't you dare say my own might got this. He said, don't forget God and say that I did this and I did that. Said, no, said you wasn't even a people. you wasn't even nothing. Can you think about where you was before God found you and brought you into His grace and brought you into His mercy? Where would we be? What would we be doing tonight? Where would you be tonight? Would you be in hell? Would you be in a grave? Would you be in jail? Would you be in a cell? Amen. Where would you be if it wasn't for God's goodness to you? Amen. What would you have? Amen. Would you have what you have if it wasn't for the goodness of God? Why has God been so good to me so I could be saved? The Word of God. Hallelujah. The purpose of God's Word is so that we'll be saved. God speaks to us so that we'll be saved. God deals with our hearts so we'll be saved. So we'll live right. So we'll walk right. Amen. So we'll walk the straight and narrow path. God's Word is there. Amen. And God speaks to us so that we will be saved. No other reason. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. God's Word is so we'll be saved. The Word of God is a sword. It cuts. It hurts sometimes. Amen. Jesus didn't tell them everything they wanted to hear. John the Baptist didn't tell them everything they wanted to hear. John the Baptist was a hard preacher. Amen. What was the point of God's Word? So that they would be saved. And the same likewise today. There's people that don't want to read the Bible because they don't want to know what it says. Friend, just because you don't read the Bible don't mean you won't stand in judgment one day. You take into consideration somebody walking through a bookstore and something deals with their heart by that Bible. They shrug it off and don't buy the Bible. They'll stand in judgment for not buying the Bible and reading what they could have read. So likewise, just as much as the person that read the Bible and knew it. You believe that? I believe it. People come in this church right here and hear the Word of God and walk out, they'll stand in judgment for not doing what God dealt with them. So likewise with the person that drove by the road and God dealt with them and said, go in that church. They never heard the message. They'll stand in judgment because God is a just God and He told them to go and they didn't go. And they would have heard, but they didn't hear. God says, get up off your couch and go to church tonight. They don't hear that message on hell. They don't hear that message on sinning. They don't hear that message or that conviction or that testimony or whatever it is. They'll stand in judgment. We'll stand in judgment. Why? Because that is the purpose of God's Word. Go into a motel room. There's a Gideon Bible there. Something pricks their heart. Read that Bible. Instead, they flip on the television. Get some wild show going on or something, you know. Before long, they're lost, completely forgot about the Bible. Still stand in judgment. Just as much as the person that read it and didn't heed. God is faithful. God is true. Amen. And what is the purpose of this all? So that we could be saved. So this world could be saved. So this nation could be saved. We live in a day and hour when people don't care about the Bible. They'll hang up on you when you talk about the Bible. I experienced that. Amen. But God's Word is still just as real and alive today as it ever was. Grandma knows the Bible. Grandson knows Grandma knows the Bible. But grandson don't want to know the Bible. But God deals with him to study the Bible and go to church. Grandma don't listen to what the Bible says, or grandpa, whoever that knows. Grandson will face judgment also, because God dealt with him to study it. Y'all get what I'm saying? Amen. We will stand before God without an excuse. I believe that. I don't believe anybody will stand before God and say, wait just a minute, wait. Oh no. We won't have no excuse. And God's dealing with us, and God's dealing with man, and God's dealing with mankind, God's dealing with us in this church. Amen. You think God's just only dealing with us in this church? No way. He's dealing with family, He's dealing with those. It's just on a different level. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. I'm through preaching. Why is all these things? So that we'll be saved. I've had them tell me, God's been so good to me. God's blessed me. God's poured His blessings out on us. Hallelujah. God didn't pour His blessings out on us so that we could sin. Live in sin. Live like the devil. Do things that don't please God. There is something more important than blessings, and that's salvation. Matter of fact, that is the purpose of blessing. And if God has to take your blessings for you to be saved, it's worth it. I pray that He doesn't have to, though, just like we started the service tonight. Isn't this amazing? Y'all think, ain't this amazing? This might not amaze you at all tonight, but like, you know, the way I'm preaching tonight and the way the Lord dealt with us, you know, in the beginning, and the testimonies and different things. What is the purpose of it all? Why did God bless me? He blessed us so we could be saved. Not so we could just indulge ourselves and live a life of sin. And buy things we shouldn't buy and do things we shouldn't do. And waste and despise God's commandments and not obey His law. No. But instead so we would live a life that's pleasing in His sight. God has enabled us to live for Him. We enable ourselves to live for ourselves and the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Stand together with me tonight. I would like for us just to sing, you know, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Maybe somebody here tonight God's dealing with about this. Maybe things in your life, you know, is pulling you away from God instead of pushing you to God. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, the greatest trial is prosperity. The greatest test is prosperity. When God blesses us. Maybe here tonight you say, God's not blessing me. I pray, God, prepare my heart so you can bless me. Help me to delight myself in you, Lord, so you'll give me the desires of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just try to think about this.
Looks upon me,
oh, thank you, Lord. For
as I struggle,
has God been good to you? Why?
They say
so that you could be saved.
Have nothing. Oh, but they
has God
are
blessed you?
So
why?
In my
why
heart,
has God blessed you?
I'm rejoicing.
Why has God turned
the
things around for you?
May not
so you could be saved. So you make it all the way to heaven.
You, Lord,
so you live a life that's blessing and pleasing in His eyes. Come on, sing it. There's a roof up above me. Have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table. Come on, sing it. There's shoes on my feet.
Shoes on my feet.
You gave me your love, Lord.
You gave me your love, Lord.
And a fine family.
Fine family.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't want no rock tied out in my
family. Bless you.
One more time, there's a roof.
There's a roof.
Up above. I don't want no rock crying out in my place. He said if they held their peace, the rocks would cry out.
My table.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for your blessings on me.
You gave me.
Thank you for that.
And a fine family.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you.
thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Can we find a place to pray tonight? Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Help us tonight, Jesus. Help us know why you're good to us, God.